Welcome to All Road 65 Max Radio, where the road ahead gets brighter as we journey towards truth, traveling through our dreams and an inspiration into a new reality. It's time, and your ticket is waiting. All Roads Lead 65 Max Radio with Pamela Henderson.
Thank you for joining me on BBS Radio, All Roads 65 Max Radio. I am your host, Pamela L. Henderson. My focus is my mission statement, to help create a quality of life through social growth, inspiring Jews to become leaders by establishing partnerships with entrepreneurs, corporations, donors, sponsors, volunteers, the community, and abroad. Please join me every other Tuesday at noon on BBS Radio, All Roads 65 Max Radio, and follow me on Quora.com, Pamela L. Space. My special guest today is Ms. Nada Nazardeen, founder, CEO of Rise Up For You, number one best-selling author, leadership and career confidence coach, and 2X TEDx motivational speaker. With over 10 years of experience as a college professor and former top executive for an education corporation, Nada understands the importance of fusing education, empowerment, and leadership all together as she works with her clients and speaks to audiences worldwide. She has toured the world as a singer, has a master's degree in executive leadership, and has coached and mentored close to 100,000 individuals around the world on self-empowerment, career strategy, and soft skills. Thank you for this interview chance, Nada, and welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Pamela. It's an honor to be here. I'm excited to have a great conversation.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Now, tell me, you are a very inspiring woman, I must admit.
Thank you.
But you have to tell me about the singing.
What do you want to know?
Discuss that. Tell me, how did the singing come about?
Yeah, I was just my first passion when I was a little girl. I was actually quite shy when I was younger. I was more introverted. I still am introverted in a lot of ways today, but I really took a liking to music ever since I was little. I remember I was 5 years old in a shoe shop with my mom, and Whitney Houston came on the radio, and I was like dancing behind my mom, and I always just really was attracted to music. And so when I got into high school, I remember one day I was just singing randomly and my dad said, you should join choir. You actually are a really good singer. And so I joined choir. I found out that I was a really great singer. I didn't know why or how, just kind of naturally I was able to match pitch. And from there, I just kind of pursued it. I went to my first degree was in vocal and stage performance. So I became a singer. I went to school for it. I practiced it. I practiced vocal pedagogy. And from there, I just started singing. And then that was my first career. I spent about 7 or 8 years singing and dancing internationally all around the world, musical theater, and really tapping into my voice, which I would say really helped me build self-confidence and a lot of the soft skills that we have today. All right, everyone. So it looks like we might have lost our host, but that's fine. I'm sure hopefully they'll chime back in. So I was talking to Pamela a little bit about, you know, my singing career, but for the most part, today I am a business owner. I run a company called Rise Up For You, and we work with leaders, entrepreneurs, and organizations all over the world really to enhance their performance through the skills that we often do not spend a lot of time on that actually make up 80% of your success. And that is the soft skills, which I'm sure many of you can agree we need now more than ever. So we really focus on the self-confidence, the emotional intelligence, transformational leadership, and influential communication. I always say it doesn't matter how many degrees you have or what knowledge you have, if you don't have the soft skills to build the relationships, to take action, to regulate your emotions, and to create influence, all of that hard work and a lot of that knowledge can go to waste. So if you don't mind, I'd like to just share a little bit about more of my story and kind of how I got to, you know, where I am today with this company and how I had this epiphany about these skills. As I mentioned earlier with Pamela, my first career, I was a singer. I used to tour internationally around the world. And I noticed very, very quickly that it was not about my ability to sing and dance. When I walked into a room, there was typically hundreds and hundreds of performers and singers and dancers that were all really, really good. But there was only 36 seats on the bus. And so with 36 seats on the bus, that made me understand very, very quickly that it was more than just my ability to sing and dance. And so I started to kind of try to understand, how am I going to stand out? How am I going to be seen? How am I going to be heard? How am I going to be relevant? And in today's world, even now, those three things are very important, especially in a space that's overly consumed. There's a lot of compensation. It's very inundated in every industry. And so I started to recognize that, okay, maybe I need to do something different. Maybe I need to perform, not just sing. Maybe I need to build relationships with the director and shake their hand and ask for feedback, walk on stage with confidence. I started to explore different skills beyond just the singing because I knew that that wasn't just the key factor. Now, fast forward a few years, and I'm now 27. I'm not performing anymore. I become the executive of an education corporation, and I see the exact same thing happening. So I become this executive, and then in the evening, I'm a professor for a community college. As an executive, I see professionals with PhDs, master's degrees, certifications, you name it, everything they needed to be successful. They were getting in the way of their own success. They were getting in the way of their own challenges. And it was really impacting not only their personal self and their fulfillment and how they felt about themselves, but it was also impacting the organization, right? Because people make the organization. And so, as an executive, even though I wanted to make impact, I spent the majority of my time solving people problems. And Pamela, looks like we have you back. So I'm just jumping into my story and we could take it from there. I just improvised.
Thank you. That's what we have to do. I don't know what happened to me. I'm like, I was listening to you, and then all of a sudden you went off
That's
on me.
okay. I'm just improvising. So I'm telling a little bit about my story of how I recognize that these soft skills that we teach today are so important, starting with being a performer. And so I noticed this as an executive that it didn't matter how smart they were technically, we had a lot of people problems when I was at that company. And the majority of my time as an executive was spent trying to solve these problems. And then in the evening, as a professor, every year I saw more and more the freshmen coming into the college that struggled with anxiety, struggled with anxiety and depression. They would rather take an F than raise their hand and ask a question because they didn't want to look dumb in front of their friends. And I started to recognize in that moment, okay, we have a gap. There is a problem here. And the problem is not, the technical aspects, the degree, all of the hard skills. The problem is everything else that we think is common sense that actually is not common sense that we need to cultivate within our students and within our workforce. And so that's when I really started to acknowledge and see the gap. Now, at that time, I didn't build a business. I didn't know anything about entrepreneurship. I just knew this was something that needed to be solved, and I did it in my own way as an executive and as a college instructor. And after about 5 years, I decided to resign as an executive. I moved out of the country for an opportunity called love, and I lost everything in just a matter of weeks. I went from a six-figure executive, house on the lake, brand new luxury car, to $100 in two luggage. And I got back on a plane and I was distraught. I was crying. I had no idea what happened. I thought I was on the TV show Pranked. And then I realized that God provided this to me for a reason. There was a bigger something that I had, a bigger calling and a bigger mission. And I think this was his way of saying, you know what, we got to get you out of this situation, and here's how we're going to do it. And so I just started building Rise Up For You. I didn't know anything about business, I knew nothing about entrepreneurship, but I felt that this was a thing that needed to be solved. And so I went to a number of people that were my friends and I said, what am I good at? What am I good at? And I took that and then I created something that combined with what people need. And so all of my friends said the same thing. They said, well, you're really, really confident and you're great at pulling potential out of others. You're a really great teacher. You're able to take concepts and put them in a way that's simple and put them in a sequence that people can understand. And you're really good on stage. And I'm like, okay, well, confidence and teaching and being in front of an audience is what you need in order to teach soft skills, which is the problem. So from there,
Right.
I bridged the gap. I started building the company, Rise Up For You. The first 2 years as a business owner was really tough. I didn't know anything about business. So I always say the first 2 years was more building a brand, just trying to figure out, like, okay, what do we stand for? What's our messaging? What colors do we use? Just as the basic things of building a business. And after 2 years, that's when we became a business. We started making money. We've quadrupled our income every year since then because people are starting to recognize that there is a gap when it comes to the people that are really successful in life as a whole human being and those that aren't. I mean, there's a reason why only 8% of the population achieve their goals. It's not because they don't have the resources or the knowledge, right? The technical skill. There's a reason why 83% of professionals struggle with self-confidence and 85% struggle with self-esteem. There's a reason why 95% of leaders think they're self-aware and only 10% are. There's a reason
Stop
why,
right there. I'll
what,
stop right there real
yeah,
quick.
right? Because I'm throwing some golden nuggets down.
Absolutely. I love it. I love it because that is what I do as a mentor and a leader. I also teach what I call soft skills, which are communication skills, what we're doing right now.
Yeah,
Even
exactly.
though my focus is girls, because I'm girl empowerment, and
Yeah.
it focuses on girls being trafficked, domestic violence, transitioning through foster care, truant in school, veterans, or having family problems. And the reason why, because I have a story as well. Back in 2009, when my daughter was in a very bad domestic violence relationship and had her children removed from her home. And thank God for my background as in hospitality management, because I understood that she did not have the skills that were needed to communicate effectively and to get a hold of some of that anger and resentment that she had. So throughout this process, we were like going down just mountain slope, the outbursts, and not getting anywhere. So what I have been taught from the corporate side of things and understanding how to deal with people and the skills that are needed, I decided to establish my foundation as well. And I teach and help build customer service skills. And one thing that is interesting about what I do is because a lot of young girls are angered already pertaining to the focus groups that I cover. So they're not understanding how they are able to move forward into social growth. And for one, you have to take accountability. So what you were saying about the things that you focuses on, I love it. And I just wanted to acknowledge that because
Thank
it's
you.
very, very important.
It
And
is.
I have also wrote a book myself. I am a award-winning author.
Congratulations.
My book, thank you, is called A Journey of a Sapphire. Because on this journey, as I'm recognizing all of these issues and problems and in the judiciary system, they lacked a lot of resources back in 2009. Young girls who were losing their children to foster care and things of that nature, they couldn't stand in front of a judge and say, "Yes, Your Honor, I am attending this particular foundation and I am learning A, B, and C. Also, I'm able to apply for a job within the foundation so they can get their children back." And I think that is what is so important right now. So
Yeah,
thank you
I
for
agree with
sharing
that.
that. Yeah, because you're just, I mean, I love what you're saying, but I got too many questions right now, and you're
Yeah,
covering
ask me whatever you want. And
Okay.
I just want to say I really appreciate the work that you're doing with young adults that are underrepresented. It's one of the reasons why I built the company because I was in education and I worked with kids in juvenile detention. And I just thought, like, there's a reason why this is happening. You see, people learn from adults. It's cyclical. It's a cyclical pattern. And so young adults don't come out, wanting to commit murder at 13 years old, which is some of the
Absolutely.
students that I dealt with. And so it's really important that we do teach our young adults these skills, and we also teach the adults. Like, we got to create a handshake. Otherwise, we'll continue to have the same cycle generation after generation.
Yes, I do agree. I'm going to have you to touch back on, this is a good question I wanted to ask you about the hidden crisis.
Yeah.
Lot of people only see what is presented from the eye.
Yes.
So when I read your message that has stated kids and adults are failing in their personal and professional lives without strong soft skills, and I know you covered a lot, but I'm going to have you to re-explain it a little bit.
Oh.
So our audience can understand the soft skills that are needed. Not so much having a degree in this and that, but it's the soft skills.
Yeah. And you know what the funny thing is a lot of people don't know this. Soft skills, do you know where that terminology comes from? I also just newly discovered this. Soft skills came from the military in 1960, which is not a soft industry. And the reason why they termed it soft skills is because they noticed that those that were serving in the military and in the army and whatnot, they had hard skills when it came to machinery, right? The technical aspects going to war. But they recognized that that wasn't enough, that if they were going to go into battle, they also had to understand negotiation, social awareness, how to lead their platoon and their tribe. And so in the 1960s, they built like Leadership Academy, and that's where the soft skills term came from. Now, the ironic thing is that soft skills actually are not soft. They're more difficult in some cases than hard skills. Because I always say that soft skills are similar to going to a gym. If you go to a gym and work out for 12 hours straight, you would have earned the day. You're like, I got 12 hours of working out. I'm exhausted. I'm sweating. Like, wow, I'm so proud of myself. And that's basically it. The results are not sustainable. You're not going to lose like 50 pounds. You're not going to see inches come off your body because you did it in a one-day period.
Absolutely.
But now, if you go to the gym 4 or 5 times a week, 3 times a week, and you do incremental 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 40 minutes, your body starts to build the muscles and it starts to build that remembrance of like, okay, how do I use my body? And now it's more sustainable. And it's the same thing with soft skills. Is that when we are working with people and when we're dealing with emotions and our thoughts and self-confidence and being able to communicate and influence, we need to be able to understand how to do it in the moment under high stress situations, when we feel triggered by other individuals. And that's why soft skills are so important, because it teaches you the human skills that make up 80% of your success. So 80% of your success is actually determined by your self-confidence, your emotional intelligence, the way that you communicate, and your ability to lead and work with people. But we spend 0 to maybe 10% working on them, and we double down on the technical skills, which I'm a firm believer in too. I believe you got to have both, but it'll only take you so far. And that's why so many people struggle to be seen, be heard, and be relevant. It's like, I got 3 degrees. Like, I'm a master at what I do. I'm super great technically, but how come they're getting the promotion? How come they built an eight-figure business and I'm grinding away and I'm only making $100,000 a year, right? How come they're the ones that are being seen for this and I'm being overshadowed? Well, it's typically because the soft skills have been cultivated in the other individual. They know how to influence, they know how to communicate, they know how to show up with confidence. And those are the things that are going to get them to the next level.
Absolutely agree. You said the science and impact costing companies billions and leaving individuals unfulfilled. And I do agree.
Yeah.
Because I have to admit, there were times like when I personally had some challenges in my life. And here I am, a mentor, and I'm trying to execute and lead and discuss. But there were times when I struggled and it made me stand back a little bit. Why do you feel that was? Even though I was able to come to grips, because I'm the type of person, I'm like, okay, Pamela, you didn't work too hard, came too far. Don't let nothing interrupt what you're trying to do. Why is that?
It comes in phases, and it really just depends on the individual. So I'll give you an example. Emotional intelligence actually has 18 competencies that fall under it. Some of us are naturally gifted in some of those competencies. So, for example, self-confidence is actually a competency under the umbrella of emotional intelligence. Well, I have self-confidence, and I always have because my parents gifted that to me since I was young. So self-confidence has never been a competency that I needed to work on. It's never been something that got in my way. It's never been something that hindered me because they taught me since I came out of the womb to love myself, push myself, be the best that I can be. They taught my brothers and I that people were gonna knock us down and like kick us in the teeth, and they were gonna, try to hold us back. And so they taught us at a young age, like, you better believe in yourself, because if you don't, nobody else is going to.
Absolutely.
And so that competency of emotional intelligence, it's never been a hindrance to me. It's always worked for me. But I'll tell you what competency I didn't have, and that was empathy, right? Which is also a part of emotional intelligence, because I came from a tough background. My dad was an immigrant from a third world country, and excuses was not a word in his vocabulary. He did not care what you had to say. He didn't care if you were bleeding from your arm, you were gonna go make it work. So when I first became a leader, when I was 27 and I became an executive, that empathy muscle was like not something that I built. And it backfired on me really fast in the workplace. I mean, people were pushing back on me. They were not listening to me as a leader. And so I had to learn, okay, this particular competency and emotional intelligence, I need to build. I need to work through it because my leadership is being hindered, and the ability for people to trust me and to follow me on this vision of the company, it's not happening. And so it really just depends. You have things that you learned in your challenge, in your life, Pamela, that serve you. Like, I could already tell you have resilience, right? And so this is the competency of emotional intelligence that is going to serve you. And sometimes when we go through challenges, we also lose some of those competencies. So, for example, sometimes when people go through a divorce, for example, or they go through trauma, they lose self-confidence. They might have had it before, but they lose it. And so then they have to rebuild it again.
That makes sense. So I have another question to ask you. So when I first established my foundation, and I networked all over the place, from school district to you name it, I was there. I was very, very vocal. And I think during this time, back in 2010, 11, 12, 13, people were used to what was working. So here I am, very confident, speaking about what I, my services and what I can help provide. And I was shot down. And what I mean by shot down, not verbally shot down, nada, I was shot down by like being ignored, being not invited. So what I did was I took a step back and I shared my blueprint with a junior high school, also the supervisor here in my county, and we did a couple of events, and also the grades at the junior high improved. So I know my blueprint worked. That made me feel good. But now I'm being invited by some of the same organizations who really didn't want to hear from me in the past. But now that I'm listening more, they tend to think that I'm shy or I'm not conversive a lot, but people don't understand. Sometimes you have to listen because when I tried to speak, you wasn't listening to me. So I want to make sure that I understand your needs, correct? What would you do about that?
So what I hear you saying is that you tapped into your emotional intelligence. First, you pivoted. So you notice I'm doing all these things and they're not working. Let me try a different strategy. Let me try, going to the school board, finding my partners, maybe doing some testing to get some results. Okay. So you pivoted so that you can be seen, be heard, and be relevant, which is what I always say. But then the other thing that I hear is that because you pivoted, it helped you build more influential communication. Influential communication is our fourth pillar in what we teach, and it's the hardest one. Because you can be brilliant at what you do, you can be saying all the goods, but if it's not influential and there's a number of different layers behind that, then it'll get lost. And so what I heard you say is that because you pivoted, you got data, you now had a different level of influence because you were able to say, hey, here's my blueprint, but now I'm not just talking about it. I want to show you the results, right? And so that created a different level of influence that then got you to be seen, be heard, and be relevant. And that's one of the hardest things, especially for entrepreneurs, is I see this all the time, is brilliant people that have amazing products and services that they are not seen and they're not chosen, they're not taken seriously because they don't know how to communicate their message in an influential way that's going to evoke movement. So I always say that communication, it doesn't matter if you're a leader, an entrepreneur, a mom, whenever we communicate, there's an outcome that we want. The outcome could be like, go fix your bed. It could be at the end of this meeting, I need these results to happen. It could be, hey, I want to partner with you. It could be, I want you to buy my product. Whatever it is, there's always an outcome to it. And so influential communication, what we really want to aim to do is evoke movement. So by the time we're done communicating, whoever's on the other side feels so influenced that they're like, okay, I'm going to move. I'm going to buy your product, or I'm going to go out there and take action, or I'm going to go make my bed, mom, because I've been so influenced by communication. But one of the things, Pamela, is that influential communication, it's not actually just the words. In fact, 60% of your communication is nonverbal instantly. So people make a decision about us before we even open our mouth. That's half the battle, right? It's what's the energy that we carry, the aura? How do we put ourselves together? Do we have an inviting energy? Do we look and feel confident and successful? Even those small things sometimes impact whether or not somebody even wants to talk to you. So there's a number of different levels that happen in influential communication that could help make or break a deal, especially when it comes to somebody that is like a business owner or an entrepreneur or trying to close a deal.
Wow, great information. Thank you so much. You live in a world where technology is advancing faster than ever, and I do agree. Look at AI. Now, even though I am not too comfortable with the AI thing, and I think I've been watching too many of Will Smith movies. Remember iRobot? And
Yes, I stay away from those. Give me nightmares.
now, like out here, we have this self-drive car called Waymo. And I'm looking at all this and I'm like, wow, are we really ready for that? And then Elon Musk has flying cars. I really look forward to purchasing one of them. That would be great, right? You can get where you got to go and half the time. But they have to figure out where are we landing and how far or how high are we going. Emotional intelligence and adaptability, as you stated, in leadership are declining.
Yes, they
And
are.
yes, and I know you just touched a little bit on it, but I'm gonna have you to explain a little bit more because sometimes when you talk about this particular subject, it's a little sensitive. And some of us as leaders, we really don't understand, no matter, like you stated, how confident you are, the message that you have to tell the world, but there are certain things that we may lack. Think about that.
So I'll start by saying I think that technology and artificial intelligence are a great asset to us as the world and as a community. The challenge is just like anything, when you don't have balance, that's when things get extreme. And so the problem is that artificial intelligence and technology are moving faster than human intelligence,
Right.
meaning that we stopped, and I shouldn't say we stopped, we never really thought about it, investing in the soft skills, right? Because when we were, 30, 40, 50 years ago, there were certain things we did where we naturally built soft skills. So for example, I would play outside with kids. Right, I had to walk to school, or there were certain things that happened where it helped me build the soft skills, communicating with people, playing with kids, trying to work things out in the sandbox. Right, and so over because of those things, your social skills were built a little bit better. But today, technology is moving so fast, artificial intelligence is moving so fast, but we're not investing time, money, and energy in the human intelligence, and so the gap is getting worse. And that is why emotional intelligence and leadership intelligence is decreasing, because our brain is getting overstimulated and it's not being exercised in competition with AI. And so it's really important that as we continue to increase in artificial intelligence and technology, that we grow the human aspect, that we grow the emotional and social intelligence, that we grow the ability to communicate. Otherwise, we're going to start to see what we see today, which is young adults that are stressed, struggle with anxiety, struggled with depression. We have the highest suicide rate we've ever seen amongst young adults because
Absolutely.
they don't have the soft skills, and the social media and the technology is parenting them more than the parents and the teachers that they're working with.
Absolutely. Now, I attended a school meeting, and it was about, like with the teachers and the responsibility of a teacher.
Yes.
And I hear parents always claim and say, well, the teacher was rude. The teacher need to learn how to talk. The teacher, snatched, her phone, and because she, my daughter had it in class. And these are the soft skills that I'm talking about, because I discuss it in a forum with my girls, the ones whom have these behavioral issues. Because accountability is not just what a teacher does. It's about how a student's approach and the respect that they have. And a lot of times, that old saying that what they do at home is what they do at school. And not all of that is true, just a little percentage of it. Because you can be the best parent ever. You can have rules and regulations, and your child can respect you. But when they go to on the outside world, not having those soft skills, then that becomes a problem. So I want to make sure that it is understood that soft skills are within, and that's within everyone, so they can move forward of understanding how to deal with conflict, anger, emotional intelligence, and we can go on about that, correct?
Yeah, and soft skills can be taught. So we all have it within, like you mentioned, Pamela, but some of us don't know how to use it and we don't know how to tap into it. And that's why it's so important for adults to teach it within themselves first so they could pass it down to the kids. And then it's important that we also teach it to the kids simultaneously so that they can have that repetition of what it means to be a good leader or to have confidence in myself, to make good decision making under peer pressure. But I will say this, because you hit a sweet spot for me, Pamela, and that's with education. There's too many adults, there's too many educators, and there's too many parents, and there's just adults, period, that don't understand the power of their presence and how much influence and impact they make over a child's life. And I always say that, like, the second you choose to become a parent or you choose to become an educator, it is your responsibility to understand that every word you say, every behavior you make in front of a child is going to influence them. And you have the opportunity to influence them in a positive way, and you have the opportunity to sometimes hinder them in a negative way, where they then grow up to feeling a certain way about themselves because a teacher said that they couldn't do this, or a teacher grabbed something away from them. And so I think it's really important that as adults, we understand that kids are learning soft skills, that like they're learning it through their child adolescence. They're trying to understand, like, what can I get away with in this world, right? Like, that's the
Right.
process of growing up. It's like, if I punch Johnny, am I gonna get in trouble? Or like, what are my consequences? And so it's important for us as teachers and as parents not to react from a place of like, how dare you, but to react from a place of truly education, which is, okay, I understand that you might not know the rules of the sandbox. Let me break it down for you, and here's the consequences, and trying to influence and teach them, because it's important that we shape their mind and we shape them as they continue to grow up, and it starts with the adults.
So true. Absolutely.
I went on a tangent there because you got me right in the
Absolutely agree with you because what I enjoy, especially working with the girls, and I try to do things that alleviate stress because, we all dealing with a bunch of what's going on in the world today, right? And I come to find, like, they get a kick out of me because I still play all the sports. So kickball, volleyball, softball. I really don't like the basketball, but I get out there, if I have to and everything. But the point that I am making, it helps them to identify that it doesn't matter how old you get. It's absolutely necessary of understanding that you can do anything and be whoever that you want to be so you can move forward into social growth. And also, as you know, doing yoga and working out, playing sports, it alleviates that stress. So you can move forward into your soft skills and know how to converse and communicate. So that
Absolutely.
is good. Yes. You have trained Fortune 500 companies, top executives, also working with underprivileged youth, and you spoke about that earlier. And my question to you, how did you use your tangible strategies and made them effective?
It's a great question. So we have a four pillar blueprint: self-confidence, emotional intelligence, transformational leadership, and influential communication. We call it the Rise Power Up Method blueprint. And each one of those pillars has a very robust content. So it has its own training. It has its own book attached to it, and it has its own assessments that we built. You could see the emotional intelligence one behind me. Part of it is from working in the college. I built a life skills course. Education is my superpower, understanding how to build content and research so that it moves the needle. But the most important thing about this industry that I see, unfortunately, a lot of people miss the boat on, is that when you're talking about soft skills, you have to move beyond concepts.
Okay.
Can't just be a concept. It has to be experiential. It needs to move into the limbic system of the brain. So when we're teaching, for example, about emotional intelligence, it's one thing to say, this is what emotional intelligence is. And the person can say, yeah, I get it. I understand the concept. But the real transformation and magic happens when you create experiences, breakouts, coaching stimulations, strategies, and activities that then take them from being just a conceptual learner to an experiential learner, where they actually like have to do it and feel it in the moment. And so that's what we've created, is we've written books and we've created training and coaching that actually gets the team member to like feel it, so that when they go back into the workplace or they go back into their household or wherever, when they feel something, it's familiar. They're like, aha, I practiced this in my training, or I did this in my coaching. I now know how to respond versus react. Okay, because react is when we get in trouble. Response is when we have a little bit of space and we're familiar with the feeling, and then we know how to solve the problem. And so all of the curriculum, it's got to be experiential. It has to be transformational, otherwise it won't move the needle. And when it's conceptual, it's too passive. It's not transformative enough for you to actually build sustainable soft skills that can create impact in the workplace, in the community, or in your household.
Absolutely agree. And I would say that is what you call the fix, right? I love that. I think about that. And I was like, oh, give me the fix. So tell me about the actionable insights to develop these skills at every stage. Now, you did touch a little bit just a little earlier. Give me a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot. There's probably like 1,200 pages that we've written, but I'm going to give you the most important one first.
Okay.
Okay. 95% of leaders think they're self-aware, only 10% actually are. You can't change what you don't know needs changing. So, in order for you to really start this growth journey, and in order for you to really start building what I like to call success at the top 10%, of like people, industries, you name it. You want to be seen, be heard, be relevant. You want to be at the top. You got to learn these skills. We have to start with self-assessment. We need to understand where are my gaps? How come I'm not moving forward? How are people really perceiving me? And the only way we can do that is through feedback and assessment that's not only of ourselves, but other people are involved in that. So, for example, when I was an executive and I told you about the empathy story, I thought I was the most amazing leader ever. I thought I was the best executive. I was new, I was young, I was fresh, but nobody came into my office. Nobody would talk to me. Nobody would have a conversation. And I didn't understand why. And then one person said, "Well, you're intimidating." And I said, "No, I'm not. That's your story. That's not my story." That was my response. And then another person said, "Well, you're intimidating." And I said, "No, I don't believe it." And then when the third person said I was intimidating, I went, okay, I have a blind spot here. So I took a survey. I did an anonymous survey. I was the only executive that dared to do it. Out of 200 people that I was leading, 75% said that I was intimidating, not relatable, and I looked mad all the time.
Really?
Yes. And so that, I cried first off. I cried all night because I was 27. I was like mortified. But then I also understood. I was like, okay, so I got to change this. This is what I need to change. And the data is showing me that I need to change it. And so from there, I was now able to create an action plan of how do I change the fact that what I feel in the inside and how I think is not translating to everybody else. It's actually doing the opposite. So the first thing I would say to anybody that's looking to elevate themselves is do an assessment that not only you take, but also that your team or your family or your friends take so that you can see the difference. If you go to our website, riseupforyou.com, there's a free assessment. It's totally free. You just click the tab at the top. You can take a confidence assessment for free and an emotional intelligence, and then just take it and send it to another seven people. And look at what comes back. Do it anonymously. Look at what comes back and then see, oh, people say that I'm really confident. And I said I am too. Okay, cool. Check. I don't gotta worry about that, right? Because I feel I'm confident and people also feel that I'm confident. In
Right.
the case of me, I think I'm really empathetic. My team gave me a 5 out of 10. I'm like, okay, let me circle this one. Because this is what I got to work on. And now
Right.
today I'm like an 8, right? So I was able to see, okay, I'm getting a 5 in empathy. Well, I got to work on this. And so I work on it. And then every year I assess myself. And now I'm floating between a 7.5 and an 8, which means that it's increased. That's
Right.
the first step we need to do.
Good. Okay. Great information. You have a deep passion for giving back. And that stood out for me
Thank you.
because I do similar work as what you do. However, we give back. Tell me about that.
I just think my
What's
mission,
your why?
yeah, my mission is in life is to elevate the human condition. It's
Okay.
not about it's not just about you. And I don't think there's any rhyme or reason behind that. I've just always been that way. I've always believed that you are put on this planet to help elevate the human condition. You got to start with you first.
Right.
That's why the company's called Rise Up For You, because when you rise up for you can rise up for others. But
Absolutely.
I just think life would be very boring if you went through your entire life only focused on yourself in an egocentric way and only trying to evolve yourself. I'm a firm believer that all of us are influencing and impacting every single day, whether we realize it or not. When you walk into a grocery store and you talk to the cashier, when you pump gas, whatever interaction you have, it's making an impact and an influence. So you always got to remind yourself, what kind of influence and impact do you want to make in the world? Do you want to take away from it or do you want to add to it? And so I think it's very important to give back in whatever way you can. For some people, it's money. For some people, it's time. For some people, it's building a nonprofit. It's working with young adults. For some people, it's raising amazing kids because they know that the kids are going to go out and be the next generation. And so I think you just got to ask yourself, what's my way of giving back and impacting the world that goes beyond myself?
Great, great, great answer. You are two-time best-selling author. And tell me, I know you have several books out, correct?
I do. Yes, two of them are behind us, me right now. Yes.
So tell me about a little bit about the first book and what does the second book that can continue on that journey gives you as well?
Yeah, so the first book is called Rise Up For You. It's the one with my face on it. And that was really the story of how Rise Up For You was built. It talks about the it's split into three. The first few chapters are my journey and my story. How I was raised by my parents and the challenges that I went through that took me from a six-figure executive to $100, where I lost everything. And that's where the company came from. So I always talk about how your greatest breaking can be your greatest blessing. So from all those challenges, the company was created. And then from there, I talk a little bit about the greatest tragedy today, which I believe is wasted human potential that stems from a lack of self-confidence. 83% of individuals don't feel enough. No matter how much success they build, no matter how much money they have, no matter what job title they have, they do not feel enough. And we all know people like this. They grind, 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 grind. They have accomplishments. They have an amazing life. They have all this stuff. They have a house, a roof over their head, food on the table, and they still don't feel like they're successful. They still don't feel like they are worthy. They still don't feel like they have power to be their authentic self. And so I talk about this greatest tragedy, which is self-confidence. And then the last half of the book is various strategies on how we can get back to the core of our self-confidence so that we can pursue our potential in this lifetime. So that's the first book, and I'm really proud of it. And I wrote it because I wanted people to know, like, at the end of the day, I want people to know that life does not discriminate. I don't care what religion you are, what ethnicity you are, if you come from money, life is going to kick you in the teeth multiple times.
Absolutely. Amen.
Multiple times. And so you get to choose, how do you want to get back up? How do you want to take back the power in your life and make change? Do you want to become a victim of your story, or do you want to become a victor of your story and use your pain as fuel for growth? And I think,
Victorious, victorious. That's it.
yes.
Well, we're due for time here, but my next question, because I'm glad you covered a lot of information and questions and everything, so I appreciate that. But tell us how someone can purchase your books
Thank
and
you.
also, again, attain your services.
Thank you. So you can go to riseupforyou.com, completely spelled out. On that website, you'll see a free resources tab. So you can get all the free gifts that we have there. And then there's also an informative call link. So if you feel like you can use the one-to-one coaching or our Success Academy as an individual, book a call with us. If you're a leader and you feel like, hey, we need these skills in our company, I would say 85% of our clientele is companies that have a team of 20, 100, 500, thousands. Book a call and we'll hop on a call with you. And then also on social media, we're everywhere at Rise Up For You. You can go to our Instagram, our LinkedIn, our YouTube. We have a podcast, lots of information that we give every day. We would love to connect with you. You can also message me, Netalina Nasruddin, and Pamela, I'm sure we could put it in the show notes. I do my own social media, so if you send me a LinkedIn message or an Instagram, I will be the one responding, not a little chat
All right.
bot.
Thank you so much. Well, readers, I have reached my destination and I leave you with this quote. Leadership isn't about standing at the top. It's about building others up and fostering an environment where ideas, growth, and connection thrives. Yours truly, Nada Nazardeen. Until next time, have a beautiful day. Cheers.
you for listening to All Roads 65 Max Radio with Pamela Henderson. Join us every other week on Tuesdays, 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on BBS Radio Station 1. And please visit allroads65max.org and become a volunteer or sponsor and be the change you want to see in this world. With your help, we can make a difference in our society and uplift those who so desperately need our help. Thank you for tuning in.